Okay, Saranda, you're prêt today. Could you finish the It's page 35. So remember, yesterday we spoke about whether there's Yerusha for non-Jews, one non-Jew from another non-Jew, a non-Jew father, non-Jew son. Is there Yerusha? So the Gemara had a limud that Rava brought down. This was 12 lines from the bottom on Tzayin Beis. So I'm just reading the line. I'm a Rava the Toro, Beikul Chavim Yerushalavi. On a derice level, a Gentile inherits his father. Sure. So he says, "Amar Rabbi Konehu." It says that you have to make a cheshbon. If a Jew is sold to a non-Jew, he has to make a cheshbon with him, to get free. Blowing your shei konehu. So the Gemara darshens out, or Rabbi darshens out, the cheshbon is only with the original buyer, not with the son, the heir. So there's no Yerush. Excuse me. So he says, "Mechlal de itla yorshim." So from here, he's extrapolating that's the exception. In other words,
General,
by in general, they do have Yerusha, but by the Eved, when the Eved's a Jew, they don't have Yerusha. That's his limud. So the top line or the second line in Yedutzayim and Aleph, Rav Chiya bar Avi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it has a different limud. Obeid kol chav miyorishin aviv dvar Torah, a non-Jew inherits his father on a derisive level. Dechtiv ki Yerushali Esav natati et Har Seir. I've given Har Seir as a Yerusha to Esav. So Esav, we figure, is not Jewish, and he has Yerusha, and the way it's going to come out, Yerusha to his sons. The Dilmi Yisrael Mumar Shani. So the Gemara says, but maybe Esav is the din of the Yisrael Mumar, so maybe it's a different cheshbon. Elamehacha, and that Rabbi Leibowitz was mentioning in his recording is a little bit Kiddush that Esav would be Yisrael Mumar. He says, but we'll see. Elamehacha, Hila b'nei lo, natati et ar Yerusha. There's a different pasuk. It says, Hashem says, I gave b'nei lo. Ar Yerusha. Ar is the city. I've given it to them as Yerusha. In other words, don't besiege Moav. Natati Ar Yerusha. So it means Lod gives it off to his progeny. Rav Chiya bar Avin, my Tamil Karava. So why does Rav Chiya bar Avin, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, why does he not like Rava's limud that we had B'chishavim Koneyu? Mikati B'chishavim Koneyu Yorshe Koneyu. So it doesn't say B'chishavim Koneyu and not the Yorshim of Koneyu. Meaning, the way they had, they put in the article, Shita Lono Delami, that was saying like this, that the Limud from Lechishavim Konehu, is that, in other words, saying in this case there's no Yerusha by the Jew who's the slave, is that the exception to the rule, or is that the rule? In other words, so the way Rav is learning, that's the exception to the rule, so from there I can extrapolate a general klal. So Rav Chiya bar Avin and Rav Yochanan saying maybe Gufa that's the whole rule. There is never is Yerusha. It doesn't. It says Mikti b'chishon kanei v'lo im yorshe koneu. Maybe they don't have any yorshe. Rava my tamal mark Rav Chiya bar Avin. Why does Rava not subscribe to the way that Rav Chiya bar Avin learns? Shum quoted the Avram Shani. The fact that Lod has Yerusha to be out of Kava from Avinu that could also be an exceptional halach or an exceptional case. Okay, just one second now. Okay, I'll read this little piece from the Aleph Daf. The pasuk states that Klal Yisrael en route to Eretz Yisrael were enjoined not to enter the land of Seir. He wrote, "Ki Yerushalayim v'Tati Har Seir." Rav Chiya bar Avin, in the name of Rav Yochanan, derives from this pasuk that a non-Jew is legal entitled to inherit his father's possessions. Therefore, if one is in possession of the deceased property, he's obligated to return it to the deceased children since they inherited their father's possessions. The Rosh comments that Esav did not inherit Mount Seir from his father; it was given to him as a gift. In other words, that was not what Esav yarshin from his father. The pasuk is saying rather, according to the Rush, that Har Seir was given to Esav to bequeath to his children as inheritance. In other words, it's not that Esav yarshins it from Yitzchak; it's that Esav gives it over to his own children. Rabbi Yochanan proves that a non-Jew inherits his father from the fact that Esav's children inherited Har Seir from Esav. The Gemara argues that the inheritance of Har Seir is not a valid source of the halakha. That a non-Jew inherits his father because Esav is not considered a non-Jew, rather Yisrael Mumar, an apostate Jew. Therefore, the fact that Esav bequeaths Mount Seir to his children only proves that a Jewish person is entitled to inherit his father, even if he is a sinner, but does not prove a non-Jew is legally entitled to inherit his father. Note, the Gemara conclusion cites another source for this halacha that a non-Jew inherits his father. The Rambam, interestingly, limits this halacha to the inheritance of children. In the absence of surviving children, Rambam rules that a non-Jew's estate is deemed hefker, ownerless, and is not inherited by other family members. Now, the pasuk states that, much to his parents' chagrin, Esav married Canaanite girls. Now, a child born from a union between a Jew and a non-Jew follows the faith of his mother, not his father. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. If the mother is non-Jew, the child is not Jewish. See the Gemara below on Samachet Beis. The Rashash points out that even if Esav were considered a Jew, his children certainly would be considered Gentiles since they were born with Canaanite women. So we've got to figure this out now. In other words, the Gemara is figuring Esav, the Gemara figures, is the Yisrael Mumar. So I can't prove anything that Goyim, one Goy could bequeath to another Goy, but Lechora, he's the only non-Jew. Everybody after him is every he's the only Jew. Everybody after him is not Jewish. Consequently, the fact the Torah says that Esav's children inherited Har Seir should be a valid proof that even a non-Jew is entitled to inherit from his father. Again, we said the proof is not that Esav yarshin Har Seir, but that Esav bequeathed Har Seir to his progeny. So his progeny are not Jews, and all way go down non-Jews. So why don't we have a proof? We should have a proof. So in answer, that's the question of the Rashash. In answer, the Rashash suggests that Esav converted his wives to Judaism for marrying them because he wanted to impress his father. But that would mean that Edom was Jewish. The Ma'arit rejects this explanation because the Pasuk says explicitly that Yitzchak and Rivka were bitterly disappointed with Esav's choice of a wife. The Ramban, in his Perush in Vayikra, cites the novel opinion of some French scholars who asserted that prior to Matan Torah, giving the Torah, children born from mixed marriages followed the faith of their fathers, not mothers. So Ramban wants to say before Matan Torah, the status of would be on the father's side. So wait. Accordingly, even if Esav married Gentile wives, his children were considered Jewish since their father was considered a Jew, albeit a sinner. And prior to Matan Torah, the identity of a child born from a mixed marriage was determined by the father, not the mother. So it would come out then
They're all Jewish.
that they were Jewish, but then after the Torah is given, then the definition changes. Now, as to why or window, so because I'll learn now from Pasuk, Kasir ben Kami Akarai, like Bichalo said, no, and the Gemara learns out from Psukim that it's only a Jewish mother. But I think the Gemara has a whole machloket about whether we go with the father or the mother. But that's all I have on that piece. Okay. No. In other words, before Matan. Oh no. I think in the Gemara, I think the Gemara had. A, I can't remember. I think the Gemara also had a machloket. I think that. I think it may be coming up. It may be coming up at the end of Kiddushin. I don't remember anymore. Didn't wasn't it with the sugya with the Avadim from Shlomo Melech? Didn't we have it over there? All right. I don't remember. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, here's something. Right, it means al pi dinei Torah doesn't. Let's say you have non-Jews live in a Jewish state, and now al pi dinei Torah is a non-Jew's son is what belongs to his father. Is it his Yerusha? Does he yarshin it? Does he yarshin it? But it has halacha l'maaseh for us, which he alluded to here. Means if let's say right. So let's say what do you say that I he said right. So but what he right. He says, if one is in possession of the deceased property, let's say whatever reason I have something, let's say I like you said, I borrowed something from the father. Now the father's dead. Do I have to return the? I borrowed his gold watch. Do I have to return it to the son? No. If who holds whose money? In other words, the father owes the Jew money. Yes, so we said that we have Yerusha, but we the Jews definitely have Yerusha. Yeah, no, it's not the same. In other words, Jews definitely have Yerusha. The question is, do Goyim have a din of
Yerusha? Goyim's father passed away.
Right.
Son has to take it back.
Yeah, so does the son have to pay the debt to the thing? Oh, so Lechora, it might be Talui with the Sugya. In other words, not so Pashut. It might be Talui with the Sugya. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says that the son does have Yerusha. So it might be Talui with that. Okay. No. Wait. Leave out relations with non-Jews and stuff like that. Just the pure DNA Torah. The pure DNA Torah. So now, if I borrowed the gold watch from his father, now the father died, and there's no Yerusha, that means the gold watch is Hefker, so I can keep it. So that's what the question is. That's a different aspect. But what is the Din Torah? Well, the first thing we have to be involved with the Din Torah. But anyway, the Gemara ends up saying that Goyim do have Yerusha. Okay, now let's see back on the Gemara. So now, 10 lines down. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Yesh Bivri She'im Bivriya, Yesh Bivriya She'im Bivri. There's certain dinim by an Eved Ivri that don't apply to an Ama Ivriya and vice versa. Now, there's going to be a question right away, so be patient. Yesh Bivri Shu Yotze B'Shanam Yovel Mitar Adon. The Eved Ivri gets emancipated after he completes 6 years, or the Yovel comes, or the master dies. Masha ain't came to Ivriya, which is not by the Ivriya. So the Emes says it is by the Ivriya. The Gemara will ask right away. Yesh Ivriya, the Ivriya has a din that the Ivri doesn't have. Shrei Ivriya Yotza b'Simanim, Ivriya gets free with Simanim. The Einanim Keret b'Nishneid, and then the Braisa adds that she can't be repeatedly sold. In other words, if he sells her once, she serves 6 years, she comes back, he can't sell her again. He says, Umafkinota ba'al korfo. And she's redeemed against his will. There's going to be a question, is it the will of the Adon or the will of the father? But she ain't came to Ivri. Okay, that's the Braisa. The Gemara is going to spend considerable time analyzing this Braisa, right? So Amar Mar, so we said before, Yesh Bivri She'im Bivriya, there's a certain dina by the Eved Ivri that don't apply to Ivriya. So we said the Ivri is Yotze B'Shanim Uviyovel Uvimitara Adon. You know, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned that the Rashba asks, why doesn't it mention that the Ivri can be a Nirtza and the Ama cannot be a Nirtza? So he said the Gemara is only considering ways to get out. Nirtza is like the way to get in. In other words, like ways of emancipation. So he says, Amar Yesh Bivri She'im Bivriya Ramini Yitera Alav Ama Ivriya Shkona Asba B'Simanim. So the Gemara asks, but our Mishnah says that the Ivriya gets out every way the Ivri gets out, in addition to plus with Simanim. You know, so he said that the Rashba asks over here, why does Gemara ask from our Mishnah? The Gemara could ask straight from the Pasuk. It says in Parshas Reiki, the Pasuk says Befuresh, that she does go out. So what do I need it? So I don't know, the Mishnah, I don't know, the Mishnah was like, I can't remember what he said. But it might be that the Mishnah has everything organized. I don't know. So he says, "Am Rav Sheshet, Gon Shiyado." So Rav Sheshet said, "This brisa is talking about where the master did yid with her. Yid is he marries her. In other words, he can convert the Ama Ivriya situation to a marriage situation. So once he marries her, she doesn't leave out with Sheshet and Yovel, and she did the whole Zach. Gon Shiyado." So the Gemara says, "Yada Pshita Gita Baya." So if he did a year, that's obvious. I don't even need to teach me. She needs a get. I understand. She's a different thing. So I might have thought, notwithstanding the fact that the master does yod, the original halakha would still apply. So she could say after 6 years pass, like maybe she considers like the marriage continuation of slavery. I don't know. But after 6 years pass, she could say maybe I'm out of here. Goodbye. Or the Yovel comes. I'm leaving, dearest. He says, I would think, Tamashmalan. So Tamashmalan, no. Once he does yud, that's it. So the only way out is get or death. Ihati amayotza b'simanim. So if you're telling me the Bryce is talking about a case where the master did yud, why does the Tana say that she leaves with simanim? If he does yud, she doesn't leave with simanim. So haki kamar im lo yada yotza af b'simanim. In other words, the Bryce is talking about two cases. The first case he did yud. Second case, but if he doesn't do yud, then she leaves with simanim in addition to whatever the Eved Ivri has. Is everybody good or not?
Yes, I don't. That's referring to the extended Nirtza.
Wait. Let's go back. Which let's go.
Sure.
Wait. I see the line. 1 minute. Wait. If you're Shannon of Yoel Mitar Adon. Yeah, that means if he's a Nirtza, you need to Mitar Adon. That's correct. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. Let's go further. Now. Okay, so we're around 30 lines down on Yud Chet Amud Aleph 18a. Okay, the Einam Nim Keret B'Nishneid. So we said in the Braisa that the Ama Ivriya can't be sold and then sold again. In other words, let's say she's an Ama Ivriya and the master dies and she goes back to the father, or she did 6 years, she goes back to the father, so he can't sell her again, can't keep selling her again. He says, Masha Ein Kein. What did the Mishnah say? He says, Shri Ivri, the Einam Keret B'Nishneid. But the implication is, and then the Mishnah says, "Masha ain't came to Ivri." So an Ivri could be, Nimkar. So the Gemara says, "Bechlav Eved Ivri Nimkar." So it comes out that an Eved Ivri could be sold repeatedly as an Eved Ivri. So Bahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, there's going to be a question. B'gnevato, it says, "V'mein lo v'nimkar b'gnevato." In other words, he steals money, and he doesn't have the money to compensate the victim. So then the Beis Din can sell him for the gneva. So he stole $1,000. He's worth $1,000, and we sell him, and then we get $1,000 and pay the victim. The Braisa says he can be sold for the gneva, not for the kefel. In other words, kefel, if you do gneva, you have to pay double the amount. So let's say he's got the 1,000, he doesn't have 2,000, so they can't sell him for the kefel. The gneva tovlo was amamo. And then he can be sold for his gneva. He can't be sold if he's an eid zomeim and he testifies falsely that somebody stole money and he wanted to be mechayev him a certain amount of money, and now he proved to be an eid zomeim
Not the
and
money.
he doesn't have it. We can't sell him for that. The gneva tov, in the third drasha, once he's been sold once, we can't sell him again. That's what the Braisa says. So that seems like a stira. We said that he could be sold multiple times, and this Braisa says he cannot be sold multiple times. So I'm a Rava lo kasha. So Rava says there's no contradiction between the two Braisas. Now, I'm going to learn the first way Rashi learns, and then at a later point in time, we'll do the way Tosfos learns, which is more complicated. I'm a Rava lo kasha. Kan b'gneva achat, kan b'shtei gnevot. So Rava says, in other words, we focus on the Aveira. In other words, if he did one Geneva, he can only be sold once. In other words, let's say he stole $10,000 and we sell him, we get $5,000. I can't then sell him again for the other $5,000. One act of Geneva, then that's one sale. So the Braisa that says that he can't be sold again, that's where he did one Geneva. But if he does two Genevas, then he could be sold again. Two Genevas, in other words, a different Geneva, then he could be sold again for that Geneva. In other words, he only gets sold once for each Geneva. That's the way Rav is learning. Everybody got it? So the one Bryce is talking about he did two Genevas, he could be sold again, and the other is one Geneva. So Amalei Abaye, Gnevato, Tu V'Mashva. So Abaye says the word Geneva, now, according to Rava, B'nimkar B'Gnevato means even if he would steal several times from the same victim, he can only the I'm sorry, I didn't say right. In other words, so if he steals once, it goes by the Geneva. So Abaye says the word Geneva can mean plural. In other words, some words in English like this as well. Like in English, let's say you have the word fish. So fish could be one fish, or 10 fish could be 10 fish as well. But in Hebrew, you have it also as well, a little bit. Like it says, Rashi brings down in the Mafkir Yonah, Ubehema Rabo. Like it doesn't say Behemot Rabot, it says Behema Rabo, Ninfe. They had many animals. And then he says, Bahadagasha by or, the fish and the or die. But it says, that God doesn't say Dagim, the Dagash of the or made that. So Abai understands the Gnevato, that could even mean if he has multiple Gnevas, that when carving Gnevato, he had multiple Gnevas. So Elamar Abaye lo kasha. So Abaye says there's no kasha this with two prices. Tan ba'damachad kamishnei adam. It depends on how many victims he has. In other words, the first way was so if there's one victim, the way Abaye figures, the way the Rashi's learning, then he can only be sold once. In other words, one victim, but he stole many times from the one victim, he can only be sold once. In other words, it depends on the number of prosecutions. In other words, right. So the way Abai is learning is like, right, how many prosecutions, how many trials are you having? So if he stole repeatedly, let's say the Ganav stole repeatedly from Reuven, and now he's brought to Beis Din for all the thefts he did from Reuven, first he stole his TV, he stole his diamond ring, he stole this, he stole that, he stole the other thing. So then he can only be sold once. But if he has two victims, he steals from Reuven and then he steals from Shimon, and that's two different court cases, then he can be sold multiple times, once for Reuven and once for Shimon. That's the way Rashi learns the sugya. Now, the reasons that you're going to see in a few lines is a stira from the next Gemara. Tosfos learns totally differently with this. Let me do the next sugya, and there'll be a stira, and then we'll come back to the Tosfos, okay? What? No time limitation. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, everybody with me? So Tana Rabbanan, Genevo Ella If he sold something worth 1,000 dinars and he himself is worth 500, nimkar, he sold and then he sold again. So that does not work out according to you. It does, right. That's the contradiction. That's why Tosfos has a different shot. We'll see in a minute. Ganevo chamesh meot b'shava elef, if he sold something worth 500, but he's worth like 1,000 on slave market, inonim kar klal. According to Tanakama, he's not sold. In other words, he's not sold. He can't sell him, and now after 3 years, he's already worked off his debt. And the next 3 years, it's nothing to do with his debt. So that doesn't qualify as an evidentiary. Reb Lezer Omer, the amount ganevo k'neged nimkar. Reb Lezer says, and it's hard to match this out with his work, if the amount he stole is equal to his value on the slave market, then he sold. Vimlav, but if he's worth more or less, ain't no nimkar. So I'm a Rava. So Rava says, Bahazafina Reb Lezer, the Rabbanan. So Rava says, in this manner, Reb Lezer has the winning argument over the Chachamim, meaning, why should I make the chiluk between whether he's worth less than the Geneva and he's worth more than the Geneva? The Mashna Geneva Kamesh Meo Elef, the Ein Nimkar. So if he steals 500 and he's worth 1,000, then even the Tanakhama agrees he cannot be sold. The Nimkar Kulo Amar Rachmanav Lokatzio. Because the idea is he sold to pay off the debt, not the half of him sold off to pay off the debt. Sahakanami, so similarly, if he's not worth enough to satisfy the debt, Nimkar b'gnei b'to Amar Rachmanav Lo Nimkar b'chatzi. So he, Rava, thinks that Reb Lazar's line of argument seems to be the successful one. Now, let me just see the end of Tosfos, and then we'll go through this. If you look at the big Tosfos, so around 10 lines above where it gets wide in the Tosfos, the first word line is the Pireshri. Everybody have it? So the Lekach Pireshri, Tan B'Gneva Achad, Tan B'Gneva Achad, Nimkar, B'Chozer B'Nimkar. So the Re explains the previous sugya differently than we learned it. In other words, the way Rashi learned Geneva Achad, like according to Rava, Geneva Achad was you're sold once, Shtei Genevot, you're sold twice. So he says, reasons, Tan B'Gneva Achad, Nimkar, B'Chozer B'Nimkar, Ashishan Kol Geneva. So the Re explains, B'Gneva Achad, we could keep selling you till you make good on the debt. The Nimkar B'Gneva Tomashmash, Nimkar Kama Pamim, Ashishan Kol. So that right away would resolve a lot of the stirot. In other words, so then it's coming out that the brisa is not being sold to the later brisa because you are sold for one geneva. Aval b'shtei genevot, but for two acts of thievery, lo yimacher l'pamachah. It's only sold once. That sounds like a little strange, but that's the way it's coming out. The way Tosfos is arguing the Ri uparich, and then the flow of the Gemara according to the Ri is uparich b'gneivato tuva mashma. Gneivato sounds like it could be even multiple thieveries. If I steal again and again from the same person, it's also called Gnevato, according to Abaye. Ema denim kar ashishalim hakol. So Mishani ba damacha, the gana bakazar bagana, lo toa damatsmo, nim kar shishalim called Gnevot, then Ushapi bagnevato. So whereas if he's stealing from the same person, he could be sold again and again. Abo b'shnei b'nei adam, there are two victims, eno nim kar b'nishna. Anyway, right, it comes out the opposite, but the bottom line with Tosfos is it helps us with the next Gemara. There's no stira with the Brisa that they both anticipate a time where he could be sold again. But that's the piece with that Gemara. All right, I'm going to go forward unless anybody has any questions. All right, we're at the two dots. We're 10 lines above the bottom. I need 10 off. 18A, everybody with me. Now,
dollar for dollar.
wait. Yeah, that's the way it sounds like from the Gemara. That's the way it sounds like from the Gemara. All right, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, the original Braisa that we said 20 lines earlier was that the Ama of Riyah can be redeemed against his will, and it's going to be a question against whose will. Is it the master or is it the father? But he says, Saba Rabba Lameymar about Korche Dadon. So Rabba thought that she's redeemed against the will. In other words, the Adon purchased the Ama of Riyah, and now she's midterm or whatever, she's before Simanim, and now they want to redeem her, so it's against the will of the Adon. So Amalei Abaye, my niu. So what does that mean that he doesn't want to redeem? The Gemara takes it. There's got to be a good reason why he doesn't want to redeem her. Must be the katan le shtara adame, that the father just didn't have the money. He's writing an IOU note. And that's why he doesn't want to redeem her. So Amai not get margarit to be adi. Who would want? So why should he have to sell her? If that's the case, who wants to like I have this thing like this? I have a diamond, and you give me like a shard, like a piece of paper. So Elamar Abaye Korche Da'av Mishum Pekam. So Abaye says no. The Pshat in the Braisa is that we force the father, if he's got money, to redeem the daughter with the way Rashi learns, forcing the father to do it, according to the way Tosfos learns that. Other members of the family can redeem her even against the father's wish. What does he say? We're going to force the other members of the family to do it. He says, well, against what the father wants, because the father doesn't want her back. Anyway, so the so but either way, so about mishum. In other words, it's like a pagam, here we all are. We're enjoying our yontif family. We're at the this fancy resort somewhere, in Cancun, and the ex's daughter is working as an amah ivriya. It's like pastish, like that type of thing. So mishum pagam mishpacha, either we force the father to do it, or the other members of the family can redeem her. And even though the father doesn't want her back, it sounds terrible, but that would be the way it would go. So. And then that's the way Reb Leibowitz was explaining about with like the other family, So ihachi Eved Ivri nami nechpinu l'bnei mishpacha mishum pagam mishpacha. So if that's the case by Eved Ivri, we should there's no father involved with Eved Ivri, but we should force the other members of the family to redeem him because the pagam it's like a stain on the family. So hadar azil mizabe nafshe. So the Gemara says if we redeem an Eved Ivri, what's to stop him from going selling himself again? He like I don't know, like gamble whatever and get money, then he'll have to do it. So hachanami hadar azum mizabin lo. So here too with amah ivriya it could be the same thing. The father would go back and sell her again. So hakatani inanim keret v'nishnei. So but we learned in the braisa so the amah ivriya can only be sold once. She can't be sold again. So once he sells her and now the avdus terminates, so the father can't sell her again. Umani Reb Shimoni. And so according to whom would the braisa be going? The braisa that we did above will be going according to the Tana Reb Shimon. That's Rishon Bar Yochai. We're going to see in a minute. The Tanya, because we learned in the braisa. In other words, a man can sell his daughter to be a wife, and if now it means in kiddushin. In other words, the only thing it says is erusin, not nisuin. So he'll do erusin, and if that marriage is terminated through death or divorce, he could give her away again with erusin. He could keep doing that. Nisuin? No. Let's go slow. You're gonna mess everything up. Okay, now. We were talking about Amay Avriya before. Okay, let's talk about Isha. Here we're talking about Isha, we're not talking about Amay Avriya. So he says, Mokher Adam Bitol Isha, nothing to do with Amay Avriya. In other words, a father can be Mekabel Kesef Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter. He says, Vishonen, then do it again if the marriage terminates. L'shivchot Vishonen. And now the Tanakhama says, he can sell her to Amay Avriya, and then if she completes the term, 6 years, or the master dies, so he can sell her off again. Le'ishut achar shifkut, or if she was a shifcha and then the shifkut terminated, he can sell marry her off. Havolu l'shifkut achar ishut, but he can't sell her after she's been married and that was terminated. He can't sell her as an amah ivriya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here's the key line. Rabbi Shimon Omer, shem shetam mocher bitul l'shifkut achar ishut. Just like a father can't make his daughter an amah ivriya after she's been married. So also you can't have amah ivriya after another amah ivriya. So let's just focus on the line with Rav Shimon and this one halakha. So Rav Shimon says you get one bite out of the apple to sell your daughter as an amah ivriya. Once that relationship terminates, and it could terminate after 6 years, it could terminate with the yovel, it could terminate with the death of the master. So in all those instances. So then he can't sell her again as an amah ivriya. Okay? Now, with the way we hooked into this is from the original Braisa. The Braisa said that that maftino tabal korcho, that we force him to redeem her against his will. So what's the so the Gemara got into discussion, what was the difference between that and Eved Ivri? So we should also force the family to redeem him, because of Pekah Mishpacha, so the Gemara says. With amah ivriya, once she's redeemed, he's not going to sell her again. He can't. Okay? Let me do a few more lines and then we'll pause another 5 lines. Okay? So, okay, now, on the bottom line, on Yud Chet Amud Aleph, 18a, the bottom line. We're pleased with the honey tonight. So, this machloka between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon about whether a man can or cannot sell his daughter repeatedly as an alma ivriya, according to Tanakhama, yes, according to Rishonim, no, that tracks another machloket tonight. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, the big dovah. It says, La'am noch ri lo yimshol l'machro b'big dovah. He shouldn't sell her la'am noch ri like to another man, the big dovah, because the big dovah, we'll see what that means. So turn the page, top line and other days. Kaven shepiras tali toaleha shuvain rashi l'mokra de Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva learns that once the master has done yiud with her, whereas piras tali toaleha is like marriage. In other words, like, doesn't the marriage kind of reminds you of like some chuppahs, right?
Like
Like
source.
the German
This is the source.
What? No, they
The
cover the
Rashash says this is the source.
all right.
What?
Or
the
Talas.
or the palace over the
Talas.
all right. Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. There's going to be a question in the Gemara. Whether all right. Well, there's going to be a question in the Gemara. Did you just see this Rashash here, or did you see this Rashash? Did you hear it earlier today? We saw it in the time. Okay. So he says here, Shuvin Diver Rabbi Akiva. So the way Rabbi Akiva is understanding the pasuk, the Vigdova is related to the word beged. The Vigdova, since he caused the beged to go over her, so la'am nachri lo yimshol l'machra. So he can't sell her as an alma ivri anymore. When it was once yiud has been done, so even if that's terminated, he can't sell her. So there's no shifchas achar ishus. That's what's coming out. Okay. Now the second line, Reb Lezer on we're on. Yud Tanu Beis 18b, the second line. Okay, Reb Lezer Omer, the big dova, which he really is like the Bavagdova, came in Shabbagadba. Now Bagad in modern Hebrew, right? Like Bogade, it's traitor, right? Right. So Shaven Shabbagadba, since he's acted sort of like treacherously with her, Shuvain Rashi Lamokra, he can't sell her again. In other words, it's like the way he's darshan the pasuk, it's like not a good thing the father sells off the daughter. So since he's so he says. So let's go slowly with this. So we have machloket time between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lazar. According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk is saying that once she's been married, the master does yid with her, so he, the father, can never sell her again. Which really means that once, in other words, there's no ishus achar shifas is the way it's coming out. In other words, after she's been alma ivriya, I'm not saying right. There's no shifas achar ishus. There's no shifas achar ishus. He says, and according to the Tanna Reb Lezer, he says there's no shifchas achar shifchas. In other words, once she's sold an alma ivriya, I can't sell her again as an alma ivriya. Does everybody have that so far or not? Or we'll give me a few more lines. We'll go over again. We'll go over again. Just one second. One second. So we said in the Braisa, we said in the Braisa that according to Reb Shimon, there's no shifchas achar shifchas. And the Tana Rav Shimon says once she's an Alma Ivriya, she can't be an Alma Ivriya again. So that works out well with the Tana Rav Lezer. So Rav Shimon will certainly hold like the Tana Rav Lezer. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Whereas the Tana Kama, who says there could be Shifchat Achar Shifchat, he'll hold like the Rabbi Akiva. Like in other words, the Tana Kama will be lying with Rabbi Akiva. Now let's see what's going on with this. Line three, the Mai Kimifni, what's the point of dispute between Rabbi Akiva and Rav Lezer? Reb Lezer Savar Yesh Eim L'Masoret. So this comes up a lot in Shas. You see, it's Eichet Seichem Pi on the side. So Eim L'Masoret means we give primacy to the way words are written. We'll see to drasha purposes. Rabbi Kiba Savar Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Rabbi Kiba says we give primacy to the way that we pronounce the words. So what does this mean? So if I look at the word Bevigdo, Beit Beit Gimel Dalet Vav, so the second opinion, Reb Lezer, says it means like if it's bevigdo, so the really full correct way to spell it would be Beit Beit Yud Yimel Dalet Vav. That would be bevigdo. In other words, there's a yud in there. Bevigdo for the chirik would be a yud. Got it? So if there's no yud there, so I would normally read it bevagdova. Bevagdo. He acted treacherously. So here the traditional pronunciation. And the way it's written leads to two different conclusions. So according to Tan Reb Lezer, he holds Yesh Eim L'Masoret. I'm going to give primacy to the way the word is written. So the way the word is written elicits the drasha bevagdova. So he can't La'am Nachri Lo Yimshol L'Machra. he can't sell the amakri to another man, bevagdova, because he acted treacherously the first time selling her. That leads me to the conclusion, you can't, there's ain't shifkar akar shifkar. Okay, that's one way. Then he says, Rabbi Kiva Savar, Yishem Lamikra. Tana Rabbi Kiva says, we're going to give primacy to the way the word is pronounced. The way the word is pronounced is bevigdova, so bevigdova is related to beget. That's the way he understands, not treacherously, bevigdo, came in Shepiris Tali Toalea, once he spread her talis over, that he did marriage with the Giyud, then he can't sell her anymore. Now, the Gemara says, one more line, and we'll talk a little bit, and we'll go. Rib Shimon Savar, Yishim Lamikra Lamasor. The Tana Rib Shimon, the Gemara says, holds by both dinim. In other words, the Tana Rib Shimon is going to agree with both limudim here. He's going to hold, A, like the Tana Rib Lezer, Ein Shifchar Achar Shifchar, but he's also going to hold that Ein Shifchar Achar Isha. That's the Rib Shimon is going to subscribe to both of them. Now, there's a Rashi I want to do with you, and then we'll open up the floor a little bit for discussion, okay? Now, Rashi, let me set it up for you. This comes up elsewhere. It comes up in particular, if you remember, we had this, or it's coming up, but we've been Dakyomi, we've had in Sanhedrin. Actually, it's in Sukkah. In Sukkah, where the Gemara has it in Sukkah. So it says, Sukkot, Sukkot, Sukkot. The Torah says Sukkot three times. So Basukot Teshu Shabbat Yamin Koizel Sukot. So two of the times it's spelled Kaser. There's no Vav between the Chaf and the Tav, and one place it's spelled Malay. So the Gemara has two Limudim. So it depends whether I say Yesh Aim Lamasoret or Aim Lamikra. So if it's Aim Lamasoret, the way it's written, so the way it's written. Well, let me do it the other way around. The shame, the mikra. Yeah. So if I do the way it's pronounced, so it's two, two, and two. Sukkot is two. Sukkot is two. Sukkot is two. The total is six sukkot. But one sukkah I need for the pshuto shel mikra. So the other two sukkot are left for drasha. That leads me to the conclusion that a sukkah requires four walls. Right. In other words, it says. In other words, sukkot means two sukkot. So it says two, 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 it's six. But one sukkah, one sukkot I need just for the pasuk. So it leaves me with two sukkot, which is four. So that leaves me with the conclusion that I need four walls for the sukkah. Okay? But if I say, yesh aim lamasoret, so then one is spelled sukkot malay, that I have to read sukkot. One is chaser, of the ones I'm going to darshan out, it's like sukkah. So it's a sukkah, a single sukkah and two sukkot. So three sukkahs, right. So I need three walls. So the Gemara has over there, this machloket, whether a sukkah requires four walls or three walls, we hope it requires three walls, two walls, and then a little, and then when you have a little tefach, you have a space in the whole thing. Anyway, so so that'll be telling me with this machloket. But over there, let me read the Rashi inside. Over there, the Gemara says that Reb Shimon doesn't hold by both. Reb Shimon holds by one. And here the Gemara says Reb Shimon holds by both. So Rashi's going to explain that where Reb Shimon can hold by both, he'll hold by both. Over there, one contradicts the other. So he can't hold by both. If I hold by one, one is four. If I hold by three, so he's not going to hold by both. But where I could hold by both, and it won't lead to a conflict, I'm going to hold by both. That's the way Rashi's going to say. Let's see the Rashi, and then we'll talk. Okay, so 10 lines above where it gets wide in the Rashi. Yishaim lemikro lemasorid hilkach darish tarvayu. Therefore, Reb Shimon darshens both ways. The Im Tomar, maybe you'll say like this, Hada Amar B'Sanhedrin, Gabi Basukot, 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 and you see it's actually a cycle of Yoram Masech Sukkah, Reb Shimon, Yif Aim Lamikra. So the Gemara concludes that Reb Shimon darshens the way it's pronounced, which gives me three walls. So how come over there, the Gemara says Mefuresh, that he holds Yif Aim Lamikra, and here the Gemara says he holds both ways. Hatam Lechel Neymar Mikra Masodet. Over there, I can't say he holds both ways. The e to lahai, late to lahai. If he holds one way, he doesn't hold the other way. If you say that a sukkah only requires three walls, which means I'm going to do yishem le masoret, he says lo tidrosh mikra. He says then I can't darshan, you know, yishem le mikra. The imtif sol, and if I say no, three walls aren't good, lo tidrosh masoret, then I can't judge it with the way it's written. About Khan, here, Here I could learn both ways. Here I could learn both ways. Okay, now one second. Wait, give me 1 second, then. Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's go over again, and then we're moving on. Okay. So again, welcome, Mayor. So we're talking about whether a father can sell his daughter as an Amma Avriya after he already sold her as an Amma Avriya. In other words, the Amma Avriya terminated. Either she did 6 years, or the Yovel came, or the master died, and now she's back home. So according to the Tana, it's Machloket Tanayim, whether he can sell her again. So the Gemara says, it's Machloket, it's Talubi, and I got to run, on whether Yesh Eim L'mikra, Eim L'masor. We went through it. So it's, how do I darshan out the Pasuk? So according to Tana Rabbi Akiva, it means Kevin Shapiris Tali Tola Shavin Rashi Lamokra. Once the master has done Yiyud, in other words, Peris Tali Tola means he's married her through Yiyud, so then even if the marriage terminates, the father can't sell her again as an Amma Ivriya. So Ein Shif Barakar Ishud is the way that the Rabbi Akiva will learn. But there could be Shif Barakar Shifkut, according to Rabbi Akiva, there could be. So that's the way the Tanakhama holds. And Reb Lezer holds the Vagdova. No, this is the Bibigdova, but he darshens the Vagdova. Came to Bagadba, since he acted treacherously with her, he can't act treacherously again with her. So he can't do it. So he holds, you can't have Shifchut Akhar Shifchut, but you could have Shifchut Akhar Ishut. But the Tan Reb Shimon holds both. The Tan Reb Shimon holds, you can't have Shifchut Akhar Ishut, and you can't have Shifchut Akhar Shifchut. And then I got to go on because we're running out of time. Okay, so any questions? 60 seconds for questions, I've got to move. Everybody good? Okay, so on line 5, on Yud Chenem Beis, the 2 dots. So by Rabbi Bar Avua, Yiyud Nisuin Ose Erusin Ose. So when a master does Yiyud, again, Yiyud is the master buys this daughter, this girl, and she's an Amma Ivriya. So at his discretion, he can decide, I want to marry her. And then he does Yiyud, and he doesn't give her Kesef Kiddushin. It's worked off with the original price that he paid. So does Yiyud, does that make, do you Nisuin or Erusin? So the Nafkamina would be Lior Shabli Tami Lolopin Lara. In other words, once he does Yiyud, he says, Yiyud, Harayat, you editly. You're muedit to me. So now, if at that point in time, if she, Liyatur would die, does he Yarshin her? If he's a Kohen, can he be Mitami to her? And does he have the full right to be Mefer Nadar? Even if it's Erusin, he would do it with the father, but does he have the sole exclusive right to Mefer Nadar? So what's the luck with this? So Tashima, so now the Gemara quotes a Braisa. It says, Bevigdova, Kevin Shapires Tali Tawala, Shubi no Rashi Lamokra. So we think the Braisa is talking about a master doing Yud with the Amma Ivriya, and it says, Shubi no Rashi Lamokra. It says he can't sell her anymore. He says, Zibuni Hudlom Zabin Law. So the implication of the Braisa is the father can't sell her anymore, Hayudi Miyayla, but he could marry her off. That's what we think. Bi Amrit Nisuino said, if you assume that Yiyud does Nisuin, Kamen Denise Shubin Lavi Rashutba. Now, once a girl goes through Nisuin, that totally terminates the father's rights with her forever. Even if she's 8 years old, once it's Nisuin, the father is out of the picture forever. So again, the Gemara had a question, does Yiyud do Erusin or Nisuin when he does Yiyud? So here we have a Braisa. The Braisa, we think, is talking about that Yiyud took place, and then it says that Shubin O Rashi Lamokra, that the father, presumably after the termination of that marriage, can't sell her anymore once Yiyud has been done. So he says, so he can't sell her, but Mustami could be Miyayid, or he could marry her off. But if it's doing Nisuin, he can't do it. So that's Elav Shvamina Erusin. So we want to have a riot from the Bryce, we think, that Yiyud does Erusin, because it's Nisuin, the father's out of the picture. So Amrav Nachmar Yitzchak, Hachab Kiddushin Da Almakoi. So Nachmar Yitzchak says, no, we misunderstood the Bryce. When the Tana of the Bryce says, the Big Dova came into Shresh Tali To Aleha, that wasn't talking about Yiyud. That was just talking about garden variety Kiddushin. In other words, that's the way the Tana is talking about Kiddushin. Kevin Shapiras Tali To Aleha. That's the type of Kiddushin. That's what the Tana is referring to it. He says, so nothing to do with Amma Avriya, nothing to do with Yiyud, means when a father is Mekadesh his daughter, and then the marriage terminates, he can be Mekadosh her again. That's all the Tana of the Brice is saying. Bahaki Kamar, and this is what the Brice means. Kamen Shemasra Aviyah, Lamisha, and Chai B'Sheir, Kita Vonata, once he's given her over to somebody who's Chai B'Sheir, Ksuka Ona, which husband is, Shuming Yafulamokra. He can't sell her to somebody, but he could be Mekadosh her. In other words, there's Ain Shifkot Achar Ishtus, is what we learned before. Ain Shifkot Achar Ishut, but he can't sell her. Can't sell her again, but he could be Mekadosher again. Okay? You okay, everybody all right? We're working with the Tana. We're working with, no, we're not working with Reb Lezer. We're working with Reb Shimon. We're working with Reb Shimon at this point, right? So, wait. No, Reb Shimon said there's no Shifkot Achar Ishut, no Shifkot Achar Shifkot. But there is Ishut Achar Ishut. Remember? In other words, if you have Erusin and the marriage is terminated, the father still has the right to marry off the daughter. And that's what we're saying. Okay? So we're going with Reb Shimon. Okay? Now, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, okay, so again, we're still trying to figure out, does Yid do Erusin or Nisuin? So Tashima, we have another Braisa. Ein Mokhra Lekrovim, a man is not allowed to sell his daughter to Mishpacha, because you have to have at least the potential to do Yid. He says, Mishum Reb Lezer Amru, Mokhra Lekrovim. But in the name of the Tana Reb Lezer, they said you could sell it to Krovim. But, so it's Machloket. Can I sell it to Krovim or not? The Shavin, but both the Tana Kama and Reb Lezer agree, Shemokhra Almana Lekohen Gadol, Hushvachalus Lekohen Gadol. That a father, should he choose, could sell his daughter, even though she's an almana, he could sell her off as an amai evriya to the Kohen Gadol, or even though she's a grusha or a chalutza, he could sell her as an amai evriya to a Kohen Hedyot, even though there's no root to illicitly marry. Okay? So the Gemara asks, Hai almana hechidami. Now, how did this girl become an almana originally? In other words, a man has a daughter, she's an almana. How did she become an almana? Ilema de Kaddish Nafsha. If we say she was 6 years old and she was Mekadosh herself, Amana Karilah, if you call her that an Amana, that's nothing, because she has no koach to Mekadosh herself. So maybe her father was Mekadosh her. But if the father was Mekadosh her, could he sell her as an Amma Evriya, which is what we're talking about? Again, working within the Tana Reb Shimon, a man can't sell his daughter as a Shifta after Ishut. The Amar of Amar Mamre Yitzchak, Hacha B'Kifei Yud, Belibud Rabbi Yosi B'Rabbi Yehuda. So, in answer to this, Rabbi Amar says in Rabbi Yitzchak, in the Braisa, we're talking about that the first marriage was Kiddusha Yud. In other words, the father had sold her as an Amma Evriya, and then the husband, the master had done Yud, and it's following Rabbi Yosi B'Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar, Ma'or Rishon Lav L'Kiddusha Nitu. He holds that the first ma'ot were not given for kedushin. In other words, the way he understands the way yid works, it's not that you're miyayid her with the original money you paid, you're miyayid her with the unfulfilled term of servitude. In other words, she's an amma evriya, she's got to do 6 years of work. Let's say she did 3 years of work and now he wants to be miyayid her. So he's miyayid her, I'm letting you off the hook with the 3 years of labor that you're not going to do for me anymore. Now miyayidu. So it means, now let's go slowly. So it means she went through Kiddusha Yiyud, then she became an almana, and now the father, and now the father is selling her. Now the father is selling her. Now, Bi Amri, now we'll see. Bi Amri Nisuin Osa. Now if you're going to say Yiyud does Nisuin, Kevan Shanise Chuvain Love Yerushutva. If it means you does Nisuin, the father's totally out of the picture. And yet in the Bryce, the father's still in the picture. So it can't be that way. Yelamai, so the Gemara says, wait, Yelamai Erusin Osa? But what do you want to say? So the Yid did Erusin. But the Shav and Shemokra, they both agree to sell her, and the Mokra beat the Shifkara for Isha. So that doesn't work out either. Because even if I say it's Erusin, how can he sell her again? Because they both agree you can't sell your daughter twice. That's the way it comes out. Shifkar Akar Isha. Elamayat Lakamemar. So what are you forced to say? Shani Erusin Da Me Erusin Da Avia. So the way the Gemara wants to say, you have to say that the Erusin that she did through the Yod is conceptually different than the Erusin the father does. He says, and it's like a horse of a different color. So let's go slowly with this. So we're trying to figure out, does Yod do Erusin or Nisuin? So we have this Braisa, and the Braisa says the father can marry off his daughter, who's an almana, to a Kohen Gadol. So he said, how did she become an almana? If she's Mekadosh herself, that's a no-go from the beginning. And if, on the other hand, the father was Mekadosh her, so then how could he sell her as an alma Ivri anymore? Because once he's Mekadosh her, ain't Shifchad Achar Ishut. So the Gemara says that she became an almana through the Yud. That's how she became an almana. And this Tana holds that the father is not involved with that Yud. In other words, it's not from the Kesef Mikna, and it's not from the purchase price that he's Miyayed her. He's working out a deal with the girl herself. You owe me 3 more years of labor, so I'm going to cash in that 3 years of labor, and you're Mekadesh to me with that. So the father was not involved with that first marriage. It's just the master and the child. Then the master, well, husband dies, and now she's Almana, and yet the Tana Mishnah says now he can marry her off. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, if Yud does Nisuin, the father is totally out of the picture. So it must be it's Erusin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if Yud is Erusin, so how can the father do, how could it be Ishus Afar Ishus? In other words, he married her once. So the Gemara says, no, that you have to say conceptually is the difference between her Erusin that she does with this Yud situation and the Erusin the father does. So the Gemara says, once I come into a shot like that, so why can I say after the payment Nisuin Ose? Why can't I say that Yud does Nisuin and I'll say Shani Nisuin Didami Nisuin Dabia? Yeah, it's Nisuin, but the Nisuin is so much different. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Mai. What type of comparison is that? Bishleima Erusin, Erusin Shani. I can understand Erusin and Erusin that the father still retains some rights with Erusin. In other words, and there's a difference in Erusin. El Nisuin, Minisuin. Top line sentiment of Nishani. In other words, that Nisuin is totally terminated. We never see that after Nisuin she's anything to do with the father anymore. So it doesn't make sense to say there's a difference this Nisuin, that Nisuin." Once Nisuin is done, she's out the door. But I could hear with Erusin that there's different types of Erusin. One, when his and hers. Now, on the top line in Tenemon Aleph, we have not from Regisla to Amar, I think Rabbi Yosef Ravuda Maura, we show him the execution they knew. Now, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, he understands the way Yid works is working with the Mount Rishonot. In other words, with the original money. So the original money the father was involved with, my Mukimla, well, how is he going to explain this Brisa? You know, how does he accept kedushin and then he sells her off? Mukimla to Reb Lezer, the Amar, the Shifchad Achar Shifchad, who lo Matzim Mizabim Law, about the Shifchad Achar Ishad Matzim Mizabim Law. So he'll say that the Brisa goes, in Akinami, the father sold her off, and then there was Yud, but he can't sell for Shifchad Achar Shifchad, but Shifchad Achar Ishad he could. So once there's Ishad, it got converted into a marriage situation, he could sell it for Shifchad. Now, there's an interesting Rashi over here. If you look on the first narrow line, he says, the Amar, the Shifchad Akbar, Shifchad Kule, the Tadarish came in Shabbat Gadba. So he darshans once he had to treasonously, he can't treasonously again and sell it again. He had Hashtabah Adhim Ukbad Lokir Blazer. Up until now, the Gemara was trying not to establish the price like the Tanar Blazer, Mishum de Shamuteyu. So Shamuti is either Reb Lezer was put in Teirem, or Reb Lezer is right. It's a Talmud of Beit Shammai, and so either way though, it's like not the thing that we're looking for. Okay, now let me just do a few. Well, go ahead. That you're assuming that there was a brother. What if there's no brother? No. Let's leave the Yibam out of the situation. Let's see the war. Okay, now, let's do a little bit of this, and that'll be it. But right, it's coming out now. All right. Now let's do this. Okay, this is our story for the day, and that's it. A certain man once was owed an astronomical sum of money by a man who simply cannot afford to pay. The debtor had been doing well, but was robbed of every penny and was required to start from scratch. The man who had lent him the money was understandably upset about the robbery, but he decided that he may have a way to cash in. he figured that the borrower could work for him instead of for his family. In other words, the guy is in, you know, depressed situation, but he can work up his debt. The debtor's family could get whatever assistance the community would provide, and he would receive full enforcement for his loan from the work this man would do for him. He went to the sages of his city. This is from the Rush. He went to the sages of his city and asked for permission to seize the man and use him to repay the debt. Why can't I? I know that we do this for someone who hasn't paid his taxes. Why am I any different? So the local rabbis had no idea how to answer the question, so they consulted with the Rush Tzal. He answered, the creditor certainly may not force this man to work the debt off. In Kiddushin Nechet, we find that one is sold for his theft, but not to repay the secondary fine. In other words, you don't sell a person for Kefel, you only sell them for Geneva. Similarly, one may not be sold or forced to work for someone because of his debt. The verse discusses only selling one for a theft. In other words, the Torah says, if you steal, then we sell you off. For Kefel, we don't sell you. For Zainab Zom, we don't sell you. And we're not, and failure to pay, when there's no debtor's prison, we're not going to make you work off. Failure to repay a loan is surely not in this category. The Rush concluded, the creditor cannot force him to work for him, just as he cannot enslave him. The proof he tried to bring is no proof at all, since in the case of taxes, the lofty principle of Dina de Malkuta Dina applies. It was, we're living, he's living in Spain, or with Germany, and then Spain, whatever he was, but, you know, they seize you for the taxes, but we surely cannot learn from that that a creditor has the right to seize a person bodily for repayment of a private loan. Okay, now let me end the recording. One second. I can't get this.
Thank you, Rabbi.
One second, I'm trying to get the pictures up. One second, I can't get the pictures up. Cancel this. Okay, now I got it. Okay.